The censorship has manifested itself through closures of radio stations, arrests of journalists, and murder. It turns out that Hassan had been investigating corruption in Mogadishu seaport, and he was killed in an area of the city that was under the control of the transitional government. There's been four suspects arrested. We welcome the interest of the international community calling for an independent investigation. It is important because at least 37 journalists have been killed in the line of duty in Somalia since 1992. And in none of these cases have we registered a conviction or any form of partial justice for the killers. This ongoing impunity creates a climate of fear and chills the press into self-censorship. And it has driven dozens and dozens of Somali journalists into exile.
And tell us, the issues of censorship and repression of journalists, does that also apply to international correspondents? How do we get our news about Somalia?
We get our news from Somalia mainly through the work of local journalists. We had, for instance, a few months ago, the New York Times reported a big story about the alleged use of child soldiers by the transitional government. And this story was, in fact, broken by their local correspondent in Mogadishu, Mohamed Ibrahim. And Mohamed Ibrahim was able to obtain exclusive photos showing children in uniform in Mogadishu and being given weapons. As soon as this story was published on the New York Times, Mohamed Ibrahim had to flee Mogadishu because the transitional federal government attempted to arrest him. Meanwhile, the New York Times reporter who flew in to do the story, Jeffrey Gettleman, had already left the country.
You mentioned that journalists have to leave Somalia for exile. Do we have any journalists actually able to return to Somalia? I mean, the situation there is, from what I understand, I've never been, basically like a hell on earth.
The overwhelming number of journalists who leave Somalia never return. The press corps has been depleting.
What is CPJ hoping will happen? You said previously investigations into deaths of other journalists have yielded no convictions.
At times there were arrests, but the suspects were released and no one ever talked about it. There was no accountability. The reason why we insist on this case is because there have been four suspects arrested in police custody. And this murder happened in a government-controlled area of Mogadishu. So it's a crime that's totally solvable.
The head of the UN's political office, which was based in Nairobi for many years, moved to Somalia, I think about a week or so ago. What role do you see the UN or other international agencies play in all of this?
The UN always calls for the protections of civilians, and in that civilian populations, journalists should be a priority because of their profession, their public profile exposes them to tremendous risks. And especially if the journalists are reporting on issues of human rights abuses or corruption. We had the situation in the Ivory Coast last year where there was a UN peacekeeping force, and we were able to get them on board to help evacuate some journalists who had come under threat using their assets since they had troops on the ground.
Last question. Is there anything further you would like our listeners to know about CPJ's work advocating for Somali journalists together with journalists worldwide?
In protecting and assisting Somali journalists, we don't do it alone. We work with a whole range of local and international groups. So we are seeking more and more partners interested in this issue. At the end of the day, we are trying to keep the flow of information coming to all of us so we all know what's going on in Somalia. These are our witnesses on the ground.